Taking Time to Be Perfect. This is Dr. Herbert Albarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with the Instant Illumination, Taking Time to Be Perfect. I have a dog called Rex, and Rex has good habits and bad habits. And the bad habits are ones that I have allowed to happen, and the good habits are ones that I have allowed to happen. Now, I like the good habits, and I don't really like the bad habits. But the bad habits take time to correct, because it just takes a training. And when one is not accustomed to something anymore, the habit goes away. If you are on a desert island and you don't have any liquor to drink, you soon lose your taste for liquor. You lose your taste for having to drink. And if you don't have any cigars or any tobacco or any cigarettes or any whatever, you lose your desire to smoke. And once you have the opportunity to smoke again or to drink liquor, you taste and it is no longer desirable, because you have built up a case of causing yourself to like something you don't really like because of the circumstances in which you're doing it. You're in a bar with friends and you're sitting there drinking, and they say, try this here and try that, and you try whatever, and you get accustomed to it, and so you do it. But the thing is, if you were to sit there on your own and someone were to offer you a bottle and you were to taste the bottle and it was alcohol, you would say, no way, no way, I don't want that in my body, I don't want that in myself. And so then you would not drink. But we are creatures of habit. We are creatures of being like other people, wanting to be part of the gang, be part of the crowd, be part of the group of whatever they're doing. And so there we do it. And, they have contests. Young people have contests, and older people too. And the young people have contests of seeing who can eat the most pizzas. And they set pizzas out, and it's not a matter how much they cost. They're not thinking of that at all. But who can eat the most? Who can eat the most watermelon? Have you ever heard of that one?
No.
Yeah. Who can eat the most watermelon? Oh, we had contests like that when I was a kid. Who can eat the most watermelon? And in front of everybody was set a full watermelon cut. Okay. Then, if you can go on to the next watermelon, same size, they cut it in pieces so you could know how far you were. So I ate 1 3/4 of a watermelon, or I ate 4 1/4 watermelon, Wow, you wonder where all that water is going. And so they had 10 contests. And then other silly contests are how many bottles of beer can you drink? And you just serve the bottles of beer to people, and they're usually gutty people, and you give a bottle of beer and a bottle of beer and a bottle of beer. And what happens to these people? They become addicted to the beer. They become addicted to watermelon. They become addicted to these things. They've got to eat it. Whenever it's around, they've got to have it, because it is something that they really want. Now, watermelon isn't so bad, because it's either in season or out of season. And when it's out of season, there's not much you can do. It's like on a desert island. There's no liquor around. So habits are like that too. And habits that we build of doing things in a negative way or a positive way. And so whatever negative habits that Rex has, I can train him by putting him on the leash and taking him with me and having him do as I would like to have him do. Now, Rex loves me, and Rex enjoys being with me. Rex enjoys running through the hills and always keeping an eye on where I am, running through the hills and running here and running there. But when Rex is on the leash, he enjoys the leash too. Oh, he wants a lot more snuggling when he's on the leash. He wants to be hugged more often, but he's on the leash. He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind at all. He doesn't know that he can't be off the leash. He just thinks, I am on the leash, therefore I am on the leash. And he is perfectly happy. He's perfectly happy on the leash. I'll say, Rex, come, time to get on your favorite leash now. And I put his leash on, and we go walking with his leash, and he's perfectly happy. Now, there are times when we walk the path, and he doesn't want to take the second walk, and I let him not take it. which is something I should never let him do. I should never let him feel that he's in charge when he's on the leash. I should never let him feel that he's in charge when he's off the leash either, because I'm supposed to be the trainer. I'm supposed to be the master. Now, who is it most difficult on to train the dog?
The master.
Me. The master, the trainer. Because I have to do things that I don't really want to do. I don't really want to have him say, Rex, sit, Rex, come, Rex, go, Rex, sit, lay down, Rex, do this, Rex, do that. And I don't want to do that because it takes time. I want to meditate. I want to say all in my world is ideal. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. All is wonderful and fantastic, you know. And when I say that, then all is in divine order. When I say that, that for me is what I like to say. And so maybe I should just be saying that to Rex too, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Rex, all in your world is in divine order. Rex, you're in divine order now. And he'll say, you want to know what my divine order is? Doing whatever you want me to do. Is that what he's going to say?
Yeah.
Yes! That's what he's going to say. And I have to know that's what he's going to say. And then he says that. And little children are the same way. Little children want to do anything they can to get the respect, get the attention, get the adoration of their elders, whomever it may be, their parents, their relatives, their friends, whoever it may be. And why is it that children at home are little cut-ups, and then they go to the neighbor's house, and they're perfect angels, you know? Oh, your kid's a perfect angel. Send him over anytime you like. It's a good illustration for my kid of how to act, you know? Well, your kid's a perfect angel when he comes to our house, you know? And we do that. We do that. It's a game we play. Because we want the attention of wherever we go. And to get the attention, we don't lift our leg on their furniture, you know, like the dog. And when a dog lifts his leg on somebody's furniture in somebody's house and marks it, the dog is merely saying, hey, this is my place. This is my extension of my property. And we have to say, no, 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 you don't do that. Never in the house, never. And how do you train a dog to do the right thing? Well, you train a dog, and you train a person, and you train yourself to do the right thing by first knowing what the right thing is. Now, what is the right thing? When Rex goes for a walk with me on the leash, he does whatever I ask him to do. He even listens to my mind, and he responds to me. He knows exactly what I want to do. Now, after lunch, I used to take a walk. Or after breakfast. And Rex didn't want the second walk because that'd be a second 3-mile walk for the morning. And so he just sort of reluctantly stays back. And when I take him along, I get him over the hill, and then he's happy. But if he's before we go up over the hill, then he wants to come back here. And those are my ideas, not his ideas. I've got those in my mind about him. Because that happened to be done once in a while, then that's what becomes the rule. And I must change that in my consciousness. And I change it in my consciousness by recognizing that I am the master and he does everything I want. And I make sure that he does everything I want. Before he has a chance to make a mistake, I have him under control. Now, I've watched enough of the dog whisperer to see him working with dogs in groups and working with dogs alone. And he said, the moment a dog does something that is unacceptable, you immediately show him that you're in charge. You don't punish him. You just show him you're in charge and say no. And roll him on his back a little bit or his side. No, be the alpha dog, be the alpha dog. You are the alpha dog, you're in charge. And within no time at all, doing that 2 or 3 times, the dog will respond beautifully and harmoniously. Now, you have to be definite in what you're doing. You got to have the power to do that and not think that you're punishing the dog or doing anything bad to him. You're merely showing him you're the boss. When the alpha dog in a pack sees another dog doing something improper, what does he do? He straddles that dog and looks down at him and growls at him and says, don't try that again, you know? No way. I am the alpha dog here, and you cooperate. And the other dog said, yes, 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 you know. Because he knows the alpha dog could bite him and hurt him badly. But he cooperates. And does he have to do it more than once? So, you see, if the alpha dog can do it once with such conviction, why cannot we do it once with such conviction to ourselves and our others, whether it's the dogs or people or whomever? Why can't we have that same conviction of, this is how we do it, this is the program, and not be angry about it, not be mean or hateful in any way, just be definite. Be so definite that we get the message across the first time, not have to do it a dozen times, and when you get the message across the first time, and then from then on, it's easy street. From then on, it's fun. From then on, everything works, and maybe I should practice what I preach here. Because it is what the dog whisperer teaches, and I have heard it a number of times, and I've applied it in nominal ways, and my dogs do love me, and I do get along just fine with all my pets and with all my people in my world, but I could get along a little better because there are things that I'd like to see done and things that I'd like to see done in a certain way, and the only way that that can be done is when I am in charge. So, I am in charge. Are you in charge?
Yes.
Then enjoy. Just remember, you can be. So, to one alpha dog to another, go for it. I love you. I love you. I love you.